Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
For just a moment. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready for the word this morning? Amen. Anybody sleepy? Look, y'all know that I value my sleep. I go to sleep early as it is. I'm in bed by 9:30. And no, come on, Pastor Damaris, come on. Not 8. But yesterday I was in bed by 8:30. And I still woke up at 3:00 in the morning, and so I'm tired. But God is good, and I praise Him. Amen. I want to just give a couple announcements. I want to be putting this on your mind so you don't forget. Our Resurrection Sunday, our Easter Sunday service is going to be at what time? 11:30. Yes, 11:30, Easter Sunday, 11:30. And we will be having Pneuma Kids. So Pneuma Kids will be having their service, so that'll free up, you know, good 50 seats or so, 60 seats. And then we're also going to be most likely using this back room here as overflow. So I just want to put that on your mind now. If you're here late, there might not be a seat for you. We're going to try to put more seats out here because every Easter we need that. And some people have said, Pastor, you're kind of crazy. Why don't you just do another service? And I'm trying to hold off as long as possible. But that day is coming. That day is coming already. It's going to be coming soon. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks or so. But I love what God is doing at Pneuma. I love what He's doing across the city, across the nation. The Spirit of God is moving, and He's bringing hungry hearts to His feet across the churches. And I just praise God for that. Be in prayer for our next gen team. They're at a conference just getting poured into in Tennessee. And we have a beautiful next gen ministry, and our youth pastors and their team went to just be poured into and come back to continue to build upon that ministry. We're continuing with our series called Look at Jesus. It's a 6-week series where that's what we do. We're looking at Jesus. We're looking at the roles and the different manifestations of Jesus beyond Him just being our Savior. This is meant to get us knowing all of who Jesus is, which, man, we serve a beautiful Savior, don't we? We serve a beautiful God, a big God. And last week, we talked about Jesus being the Logos, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, that Word that gives us power and authority, and I like what one brother said, dominion as sons of God and daughters of God. Today, I want to take you to John chapter 11, if you would stand with me, John chapter 11. This is a story of the resurrection of Jesus' friend Lazarus. And we're going to pick up kind of in the middle of the story because there's a lot to read here. This is a very emotional moment in the life of Jesus. And it's emotional in a couple of ways. Number one, we see the compassion of Jesus. And number two, we kind of see the frustration of Jesus. And I want to talk about both of those. I've never preached this story from this angle before, but when I really studied it, it really made me appreciate Jesus in a brand new way because He is compassionate even in His frustration. Maybe that's called patience. But for context, for those of you who don't know the story, Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the text says that Jesus loved this family. He considered Lazarus and Mary and Martha good friends. And one day, word gets sent out to Jesus about Lazarus being ill. And Jesus intentionally doesn't go with them when he's called. His friend is deathly ill. Jesus has the power to heal him and restore him to health, and Jesus stays where he's at 2 days longer from the day that he was called to visit Lazarus. And he dies, and both sisters are obviously saddened for the loss of their brother, and they're having all the thoughts that we always have in times of tragedy. Lord, why? If you could have healed him, why didn't you heal him? Why did you wait so long? Do you not care about me, Lord? And that's where we pick up here in the story. Verse 32, you got it? It says this, we're going to read a little bit. It says, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray over this word that you've spoken over your servant. I pray, Father God, that as I've received it, so many of your people here, my God, with open hearts and open minds would receive it, my God. I pray that your word would do what you want to do, my God. Lord, I have no agenda, my God, but to preach Jesus, and I pray that you do the rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take your seat. I entitled the sermon this morning, Compassionate Shepherd. And I want to address a question that comes up a lot of times that we probably never say out loud, because we know the answer, but we still feel it in the depths of our hearts in moments of trial and tribulation and testing. And it's the question, Lord, do you even care? Do you even care about me, God? See, even as a lifelong Christian, I've asked myself that question many times in different seasons of my life. I've asked all the variations of that question that you could think of. I've said to God, "Lord, I know that you care about my soul, but is that all you care about? You see what's happening in my life. You see what's going on in my midst. You see what's going on in my mind. Are you not as concerned about those things because you know those things are temporary? Do you not care about my finances? Do you not care about my health? Do you not care about my credit score, God? Do you not care that I've been single all this time, my God? Do you not care that I'm not going to get married? I'm going to die. Do you not care?" I've asked all of the variations of this question. I know I'm not the only one. See, there's been moments where I found myself much like Mary and Martha. Jesus tells Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And her response is, "Yes, Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. I know that you're the Christ. I know that you're the Son of God. I know that you're coming into the world to save the world. I know who you are." See, Martha was making peace with the reality that her brother was not going to come back. She was trying to accept things as they were and be still and know God is still God. And this is something that we preach, right? Like, God's actions are not determined by my faith. My faith is determined by who God is, right? And we know that there's going to be moments that we've got to make peace with and still have faith. That no matter how much faith I put in an outcome, it may be that the outcome doesn't change because God has already spoken. We know that there's going to be times where all we can do is ask God for comfort and peace because a miracle isn't coming. And can I tell you that that is a beautiful type of faith to carry? And if you can get through your life with that type of faith, praise God. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you still had faith even when you didn't get the miracle. Your faith is determined on who God is. And so that's what Mary was basically, or I'm sorry, Martha was telling Jesus. She was making it clear to him that even if my brother is dead, and he's not coming back, I still believe that you are the resurrection and the life. I still believe in you. That's the heart of Martha that we see in this passage. It's a beautiful testament to her faith in Jesus. But you know what? If we're being honest, sometimes that still makes you wonder if the only thing that Jesus really cares about is all the spiritual stuff and all the physical stuff and all the mental stuff and all the financial stuff and all the emotional turmoil. I've just got to figure out on my own and just be grateful that I've got eternal life. But can I tell somebody today that God does care about you right now, today? He does. Stop believing the lie that he doesn't. He cares about your right now. God didn't create the earth so that the earth could babysit you until Jesus picked you up. No, God created the physical, the material, the emotional with a purpose. He does care. He cares about what you're feeling, even when what you're feeling is completely not even justified. He cares about you, what you're worried about, even if you think what you're worried about is being silly. I oftentimes somebody will I'll see them on Sunday and they say, "Pastor, I was going to call you the other day to ask you for prayer, but I didn't call you because I just felt, man, he's so busy and my prayer is so petty compared to so many other people." And I'm like, bro, call me. Like, if it matters to you, it matters to God. And I want to pray with you. 1 Peter 5:7, write this down. You got to write this down. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I'm going to say it again to somebody who's got to hear it. Cast every anxiety upon the Lord because he cares for you. And I'll tell you right now, man, I don't often have spiritual anxieties. I don't stay up at night thinking, "Oh, if Jesus comes back today, I don't know where I'm going." No, no, no. I know that my soul is spoken for. I know that if I die today, I'm going to wake up in his presence in glory, glory to God. I don't get anxious about that spiritual stuff concerning my soul, but I do get anxious about life. I do worry about the well-being of my family. I do worry about the safety of my girls. Two girls and now another one on the way. Goodness. Another girl to worry about. Those are the things that I worry about. Bro, the other day, I got a colonoscopy the other day. TMI, but that's what happened, okay? My dad had early stages of colon cancer. And so anytime it runs in the family like that, they recommend that you go see a doctor and just make, you know, get checked out. So I waited 5 years before I did that. And so I went in November and I schedule it. And they said, you know, even though it runs in my family, the insurance is not going to cover it. Don't even get me started. But I schedule it. It's going to be like $2,000. And I'm like, man, do I really want to pay just for peace of mind? And I say, okay, I'm going to do it. So I booked the appointment for the next week. Then I get in the car on our way home, and Melissa tells me, maybe you should just wait to January because at least it goes towards your deductible. You haven't even used your insurance all year. And I was like, woman, I could have cancer growing in me right now. And you're worried about money? Yeah. But it was the wise thing to do. So I was like, okay, I'll reschedule it. So I rescheduled it for January. January, we ended up going on a Disney cruise. So I was like, colon cancer can wait. So I scheduled it in February, and the only time they had in February was late February. And so I scheduled it for February. But nobody would know this, but I'll tell you, I was anxious for 4 months. Every night I would go to sleep thinking, what is happening in my body? I promise you, I kid you not, I even upgraded my life insurance. I said, babe, I don't know what they're going to find in there. I want you and the girls to be okay. No lie, man. And I went last week, and praise God, I'm good. I'm good, man. Now I just got to be anxious about affording that life insurance policy, right? But God cares about that stuff, man. As silly as it sounds, he cares about the stuff that you care about because all of that stuff creates an opportunity for you to trust him. If I didn't have fear from time to time, I wouldn't have an opportunity to go against my flesh and walk in faith and encourage. If I didn't have stress from time to time, how many of us have stress from time to time? I wouldn't have an opportunity to run to him in those times of stress instead of running to so many things that people in the world run to instead of Jesus. The fears and the worries and the burdens and the anxieties of life create an opportunity for us to give it all to God. God cares about what you're feeling. He cares about what you're tormented with, man. But here's the kicker. Just because he cares about that stuff doesn't mean it's justified in his eyes. Just because he cares about it doesn't mean that he's okay with it. He's just compassionate. And men of God, I think Jesus can teach us something here, fellas. You know, a lot of times when you're dealing with emotions, we want to bring logic to the table. See or no? We want to bring reason. We want to bring solutions to the table because from my perspective, your feelings are just crazy. What's the big deal? You're overreacting. Calm down, right? And so when your wife is being emotional, and I say your wife because my wife would never, right? She's not even here today. I don't even get those brownie points. Dang. But when our wives are being emotional, we're not nearly as emotional. And so we come to an argument, a disagreement with rationale and reason and solutions like a normal person, right? But in doing so, we make things worse sometimes. Because why? Why? We dismiss the emotions that they're so obviously feeling in that moment. And the Bible shows us that Jesus sees all of the emotion in the room. He sees all the tears, all the anguish. And the Bible says that he's moved, but he's troubled. He's moved, but he's troubled. And I want to talk about that moved part first, because that's the compassion of Jesus. Jesus walks in the room. He knows what he's about to do. He even tells Mary and Martha what he's about to do, but they're still feeling the emotion. And what does Jesus not say? He doesn't say, stop crying. He doesn't say, calm down. He doesn't say, take a moment and come back to me when you're level-headed. He doesn't say that. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And the very shortest verse in the entire Bible, verse 35 of John, it says, Jesus wept. Now, he wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. He was crying because he was moved to compassion by those he loved. He saw those whom he loved crying, and he felt for them. And man, God has broken, I can testify to this, because God has broken my heart for this. Just this week, man, I was talking to a brother on the phone. He was telling me all the stuff that he was going through. And on the other side of the phone, I am crying because I care about what this brother is going through. And I had to ask for that, because you already know, before people would come to me with their problems, and my response would be, bro, that sucks, right? But I had to ask for God's heart. And he's given it to me, and I can't stop crying. Every time I have a conversation with somebody, for a brother or sister from the church, and they're telling me what they're going through, man, I weep on the other side of that phone. Many times they don't even know it, but I'm there crying and praying on their behalf because I feel for them, because I care for them. That's the compassion of Jesus. Jesus wept, not because his loved one was dead, but because they were feeling the pain of his death. And maybe this is why the word for weep is different for Jesus than it was for everybody else. We wouldn't catch that in our English, because the English just says weep. But the Greek form of weep for Mary and Martha and everybody else is different. It's klaiou, and it means to cry or to wail. It's the same word used of Peter after he denied Jesus. The text says that Peter broke down and he wept. It's the same word that was used of Mary Magdalene when she was standing outside the tomb of Jesus, thinking that her Savior was completely gone. This is a loud cry, a desperate cry, a hopeless cry. I can still remember the cry of my aunt and my uncle when my cousin Bobby died. It was a desperate and hopeless cry, totally understandable for anybody going through this amount of extreme grief. But the word used of Jesus is different. Jesus wept. This is a different type of cry. The Greek is dakriou. It's only used one time in the New Testament right here. And it means to shed a tear. Jesus wasn't wailing in agony. He wasn't crying out loud. He wasn't saying why. It was a soft, controlled, but compassionate cry. And many times, church, let's be honest, we want Jesus to feel exactly the way that we feel. We want what we're going through to be a big deal for him the way that it's a big deal for us. We want it to be urgent for Jesus the way that it's urgent for us. And that can be frustrating, because Jesus doesn't weep the way that we do. And maybe some of you are weeping today in ways that Jesus is not. And I'll be the first one to tell you that when that's the case, it makes you sometimes feel disconnected from your compassionate shepherd. And you don't understand why he's still allowing you to go through what you're going through. Why are you still struggling? Why hasn't he gotten you out yet, even though he sees what you're in? And it pains you. It pains you because you know that he's a good God and you know that he's a capable God. So why won't you weep in the way that I'm weeping, God? Why can't you just feel the way that I feel? If you've just been there, Lord, if you had just cared enough to show up, my brother would still be alive. Listen, Jesus will never overreact to anything because he sees what's on the other side. Jesus has got the full picture. We just got a little picture of it. Now, I will say, that sounds good right now. Sounds spiritual right now. It's easy to say amen to that right now. But when you're really going through a hard time, let's be honest, you don't care about what's on the other side. You just care about what's on this side. That's why you're in pain. You don't want to have to wait for glory. You want the glory right now. And by the way, it doesn't always end this way. We know how the story ends. Lazarus rises. 99% of the time when we're dealing with death, Lazarus stays in his tomb. And so we have to walk away. Listen, we got to walk away with our faith that Jesus is going to make things better in the next life, which is true. But if we're not careful, that can cause damage to our faith that Jesus is still working in this life. And now, because too many of your prayers went unanswered, we're counting this life as a big L and we're waiting for victory in heaven. Martha said, I know he will rise again in the next life. I know you're still God. I know you're still good. I know you're still King. I still praise you. And we're walking around defeated on this side of glory and we're waiting for the other side of glory and it's affecting our praise and it's affecting our worship. Some of us are so over this life, man. We can't wait till Jesus comes back. But don't go there just yet, my friend, because there are still miracles to be had on this side of glory. There are still prayers that need to be prayed and answered on this side of glory. There are things that God cares about. Don't allow yourself to be convinced that Jesus isn't concerned with what's going on in your life today. Don't do it, because if you begin to believe that way, your prayers will become less powerful. They'll become less authoritative. Your praise will be more dry and your faith is going to get weaker, man. God is still working on this side of glory. Stop. Look, there is coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess and every eye will see who he is, his glory. But you're already seeing the glory today. You're already a part of it. You know it. It should not affect your faith on this side of glory. Martha was trying to make it all spiritual for Jesus. And Jesus is like, I'm talking about right now, girl. And see, my Jesus is so good and he's so compassionate that even when Mary and Martha and all the grieving Jews were missing the mark in this moment, he still took the time to feel their pain. He still took a moment to cry with them. He was moved by their emotion. Jesus does care about your pain, man. He does care about your grief. He cares about all the stuff that you worry about. But more than anything, I want you to get this. More than anything, he cares about your faith. And I resonate with this. I hate when I see people who are hurt by the church or they're hurt by people in the church. Even though I care about what they were hurt by, I care more about how it might damage their faith. So when somebody is really torn up about something that happened in the church, I'm grieving over what happened, but I'm praying, God, help their faith. Help their faith. Don't let this be a reason that they walk away from the church. Don't let this be a reason that they walk away from you. I care about their faith. I hate when I see a child lose a parent. And while I hurt and grieve with them, I care so much more about what that might do to their faith later in life. Are they gonna be asking questions about why did God take away my mom, my dad, early before I was grown up? Jesus cares about your hurt, but more than anything, he cares about your faith. And so we know that Jesus was moved to compassion, but he was also troubled. That's what the Bible says, he was troubled. See, what's interesting is that a lot of commentators say that Jesus was weeping because he was feeling their pain. Some say that he was weeping because he was frustrated with their faith. I think it's both. This is an extremely emotional moment for the human Jesus. He is feeling their pain. He's moved by their tears, but he's also troubled. He's frustrated by their lack of faith that Jesus is still able to work on this side of heaven. He's frustrated. He's frustrated because they believe that death is the true champion. And see, Mary and Martha knew that Jesus was a healer. They knew that Jesus was a miracle worker. They knew everything that Jesus said about himself, but they still hadn't gotten it yet. That even death can obey the Son of God. That had to be frustrating for Jesus, especially after Jesus tells Mary, your brother will rise again. He even says it the day before, like, oh, that boy Laz, he'll be fine. Be on his feet in no time. He says in verse 15, he says, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. I'm glad. Can you imagine that? I'm glad I wasn't there. What if he told that to Mary and Martha when they fell at his feet? Jesus, had you just been here, I'm glad I wasn't here. Wouldn't that offend you? It's funny right now, but wouldn't that offend you? Wouldn't that make you angry? Wouldn't that make you think differently about this Jesus that you claim is so loving and so compassionate? I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad I wasn't there when you went through the worst moment of your life. I'm glad I didn't answer that prayer. I'm glad that I made you wait for it. I'm glad. That tells me that Jesus is about to do something crazy. See, this goes back to what I said earlier. Every burden. How many of you have burdens this morning? Every doubt. How many of you have doubt? Every anxiety, every stress. Come on, raise your hand if I'm speaking to you. Every opposition, every turmoil, everything is an opportunity to trust in the Lord. All of that. God's going to use all of that. All of this stress, all of this pain, all of these tears, all of the anxieties, all of the fear, all of the worry, God's going to use it. God's going to, if you let him use it, he will use it. He will use it. Jesus says, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you may believe. Here's the thing that frustrated Jesus. You ready? They didn't believe. They didn't believe. Not until after the miracle was done. What does Jesus tell Thomas? He says, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and have yet believed. So Jesus gets to the tomb of Lazarus and he says, move the stone. Move the stone. And Martha's like, Jesus, he's like dead. It's been 4 days. He stinks by now. Like, you don't want to do that. He's dead. We know who you are. He's dead. Leave it be. And what does Jesus tell her? He says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The problem was they didn't believe. Not fully. But Jesus was still going to do the miracle anyway. He was still going to do the miracle so that they would believe fully. I say this all the time, but I love how true it is. Jesus will meet you where you are. He will meet you where you are today. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Ryan, I don't got that much faith. He'll meet you in that little faith. He'll meet you there. Your faith doesn't have to be perfect. He will meet you there. Sometimes my faith is dominated in moments by doubt. Sometimes it's dominated by anxiety. It's dominated by stress. It's dominated by fear. It's dominated by uncertainty. It's dominated by other things. But because my Jesus is so compassionate and patient, even in his frustration, he's still going to do some type of glory. There are other times in scripture, the Bible says that Jesus enters the town and he leaves because there was no faith there. What can I do when there's no faith in the room? But then the Bible also says that even with just a little bit of faith, see, that's what was here in this moment. Are you catching this? I need you to catch this. Jesus enters towns, wants to do miracles, wants to heal, wants to deliver, wants to restore, wants to bring freedom, wants to bring restoration, wants to bring salvation, but there's no faith there. It's not that Jesus can't, but if you don't believe, why should he? Because you're not going to believe in who he is. Mary and Martha, they had some faith in who Jesus was. It wasn't all the faith. It wasn't the faith that Jesus wanted to see in this moment. Jesus would have loved for them to have moved beyond the little faith and into the great faith. But even just with the little faith, Jesus says in Matthew 17:20 that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move and it will move. Nothing shall be impossible for the Lord. Just with a little bit of faith. And you're here this morning, I believe, because you know who he is. And maybe you're telling yourself, man, I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know if he's going to do the miracle. I believe in who he is, but I don't believe that he will do everything that I'm asking him to do. But just with a little bit of faith, God can use it. God can use it. And God wants to demonstrate some glory this morning with those who simply carry even just a mustard seed size of faith. So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, listen. He says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. This implies that Jesus prayed another prayer to God that's not recorded in scripture. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. There's another instance where Jesus prayed privately. If you don't have a private prayer life, I don't care how powerful your prayer is in public. That's another sermon. But I imagine Jesus' private prayer went something like this. Father, I really want to do this miracle right now. I really want to raise this dead man to life. They need it. Mary and Martha, they need it. They need to see this glory. Because they have faith in me, but not fully, God. And I need them to know that you are the one who sent me, that you who have power over life and death are in me. So he says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. He says, I knew that you always hear me, but on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus does a miracle. And it's powerful, right? And I feel like I could really drive that point home. And everybody claps and everybody stands. And glory of God, praise God. But the message that I want you to get today is not that you're going to get every miracle every time. I can't promise you that. I won't promise you that. I'm not God. But I can tell you that whatever God has promised you on this side of heaven will come to pass. And some of you have been waiting. You've been losing that faith. And you've been convincing yourself that maybe God never spoke. Or maybe it's not going to be you who sees it. But if God spoke to you, if God said it to you, maybe the word that you need to be reminded of today is what Jesus told Martha. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? I want you to know that there is still glory to be found today, man. Do you believe that? Do you believe, like, yes, there is a day coming where all the world will know who he is. But family, you already see it today. You've witnessed it in many ways. You've seen the restoration. You can see the restoration in others even before they see it. You see the prodigals returning even before they return. Don't lose the faith in moments of opposition. In fact, it's not opposition, it's opportunity. It's not opposition. It's opportunity. Change your language, man of God. Change your language, woman of God. All this oppression, all this opposition, it's an opportunity for God to use that faith. It's an opportunity for that stress to be given to the Lord. It's an opportunity for every fear to ignite courage and boldness in you, man of God. It's an opportunity to trust that God is still at work, even in the impossible. See, when Jesus doesn't weep the way that you weep, when he doesn't respond as quickly as you want him to respond, when he's still got you stuck, keep the faith brewing, man. Keep it going. Keep it. Don't let up, man. Because God cares about you. He hears you. And he's getting ready to show you something. I don't know what. But be comforted by the compassionate shepherd, who is also an all-powerful God, who raises dead men to life. How many can say this morning, Pastor, I might not have a lot of faith, but I got a little bit of faith. Come on. Come on. If that's you, raise your hand. If that's you, stand up. God, I might not have all the faith, God, but I got a little bit of faith. I got a little bit of faith. I know who you are. I've seen some things. I've witnessed your glory. I've seen people that I never thought would come to you come to you. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen a cancer disappear. I've seen people get healed. I've seen all kinds of things. You have shown me some things, God. And God is saying, keep that faith going. Keep it brewing. Keep it brewing. Keep it brewing. Know that God is still working on this side of heaven. Prayer team, can you come help me? If you have any cares today to cast to the Lord, I want to do that right now. If you have any burdens, if you have any tears, if you're weeping like Mary and Martha and you're frustrated that Jesus isn't hearing you, that he's not responding to you, if that's you this morning, I want you to come forward and I want you to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And I want you to rest in the comfort of God. I want you to rest in the compassion of God that he is with you and that he is building your faith. If that's you this morning, come on, these altars are open and I want us to pray together and I want us to believe that God is still working even when you feel like he isn't. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, if that's you, I'm gonna fill the altars. If that's you, if you need prayer, come on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, move us, my God. My God, I thank you that you're moved. You're moved by every tear, my God. You're moved by the things that pain us, my God. You care about us, Lord. But I pray, Father God, that you would reignite some faith this morning. Faith, my God, that you are still working on this side of heaven, Lord. Faith that you're still moving, my God. Faith that there is still glory to be seen.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at MyNuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.